Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Hi guys, welcome back to Dwarfism History. Today we're talking about dwarf throwing, also known as midget tossing or dwarf tossing. We're also going to be talking about other forms of discrimination that little people are still experiencing. My name is Aubrey Smalls, I'm an actor and a filmmaker with Dwarfism, and I'm coming to you live from my bed with my cat, who is playing with a, I don't know what it is, some type of toy. But anyways, so for those of you who don't know what dwarf throwing is a quote-unquote sport, where average-height people will pick up a little person in a harness and then launch them into the air onto a mattress or other soft landing area. This is usually at like a nightclub or a private event or something like that. So the goal of this is to throw the little person as far as the person can. It's like a point system. I don't get it. What part of your life? Let me just drag people for a second. Sorry. You have to be at the very bottom of the barrel, in my personal opinion, to be like having a good time out with your friends. And then you're like, do you know what I want to do with my hard-earned dollar? My hard-earned money is to pick up a little person and throw them. I worry for those people. I worry how that is a form of entertainment. But that form of entertainment has surpassed space and time and is still existing. It really originated in the 80s in Australia, but there's been kind of, as we're going to go through this episode, variations of dwarf throwing throughout history, which is why I thought this would make a particularly interesting episode, because to be honest guys, there's only so many actual specific little people we can talk about through parts of history, because we don't have documentation on, you know, every single little person in every single era of history. What we do know, we're going to cover on this show, but we're also going to sometimes do these kind of side quests where we talk about other forms of dwarfism, history, like dwarf throwing, stuff that's persisted and lasted throughout, girl, I sound like I'm trying to get to like a word limit, like, please be so for real. But yeah, I just think it's going to be interesting to talk about different forms, like different angles of dwarfism history. You guys know what I'm saying? Do I need to record this again? Am I blabbering? Am I stupid? Just kidding. These are harmful things that I should not be saying to myself. And we're already started with me spiking the audio. I really got to learn how to talk at one level. Just calm, because I think I have a nice podcasting voice. Let me not get distracted. Anyways, I have pizza that I ordered, so I am going to try to have a hard out in like 40 minutes. I think we need to have like a nice juicy sit-down conversation, because I posted on Instagram at Aubrey Smalls about a little person named Martin Henderson. And if you're not familiar with the story, we'll start this episode with kind of a breakdown of that story. But first, let me just run through some like little housekeeping notes. These are some terms that I'm going to use frequently. I'll try not to spend too much time this episode on it. We'll start off with dwarfism. That's the name of the condition that affects me and that other people have. It's, you know, just because you're short doesn't mean that you have dwarfism. It's a specific condition that affects bone growth, and there's hundreds of different types. That's why you see little people across so many different types of body types and shapes and sizes, et cetera, et cetera. So, that being said, the way I refer to people with dwarfism is by putting the person before the condition. This is just for me personally what I like and what other little people genuinely do as well. But even today I got a comment saying that someone prefers dwarf, like being called a dwarf instead of like person with dwarfism. So again, this is just for me, but understand that this is just how I talk. So, little person, little people is also acceptable and something that I use frequently. I don't love being called a little person myself. Like, if someone was like, oh, my friend's a little person, I'd be like, can I just be Aubrey Smalls? Can I be a badass with a thick ass? Can't you use that as my descriptor? Because that's true as well. Anyways. ableist is just basically a mindset that disabled people, and that doesn't just mean little people, that can be like people with so many, there's so many different types of disabilities, guys, okay? And there's people out there who look at people who are not super able-bodied and go, I mean, I literally got a comment the other day that said that, I'm not going to go into a genocide talk, but they're literally talking about why little, how people with dwarfism, since we require more quote-unquote resources and have more health conditions, that we're like draining society and like, and a waste. It was really an appalling comment. And I can't, I was going to say, I can't monitor every comment and block every person like that. But sometimes I do be reading these comments and I'm like, what is coming from your minds? Really, like, I feel like people use TikTok comment sections, particularly mine, as like their dark, twisted fantasy diary of like everything they've ever wanted to say to a little person or a disabled person that they would get shunned from society for saying in real life. Like, be so for real. What do you mean that little people are draining society of resources and stuff? Like, be actually so for real. You just drained my resource having to try to figure out what the heck you meant by that comment. Anyways, ableist, yeah. So I use that term. I don't use it lightly. I really do think it needs to be, like, not just, like, an ignorant comment. It's not just, like, using the wrong word for little people. It's, like, deeper than that, okay? So I didn't even use it, I think, in the last episode, but just in the case that I do, understand that's the context that I use it in, okay? It's for people who seriously think that there is a reason to treat disabled people like they're less than everyone else. And that can manifest in a lot of ways, like dwarf throwing. But we'll get to some other later on in the episode. I think that's really it for the terms, though. Yeah, let's get into this episode, guys. For people who aren't familiar with dwarf tossing, I think they are familiar with the movie Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio, which I believe had over a dozen Academy Award nominations. And for those of you not in the film world, that's just basically like the top award you can receive as an actor or a filmmaker or a director, etc., etc. The big award show every year. And in that film, there's an extended sequence where they, oh gosh, I have an itch in my ear, hold on. Okay, I'm back, the itch is gone. Yesterday I thought there was a bug crawling in my ear, so that was a little triggering when I felt like a little itch in my ear. Anyways, let's get back to this episode. So, it dates back into the 80s in Australia, Wolf of Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. Hi, Marco Rappi. Did you guys see Barbie? Okay, let's focus. I was going to say, did you guys see Barbie? But anyways, okay. So there's a whole scene in Wolf of Wall Street where they're joking about throwing little people. And this is not, you know, a scene based off of a real account of the person Wolf of Wall Street's about. Don't care to know his name. But I did look it up to see, like, oh, is that, are they just adapting part of his story? Because he did write a book about his life and the movie was loosely based on that. But no. I think someone, not him, but someone in his camp even came out and said that that never happened. So they literally just put a dwarf throwing scene in the movie for funsies. It was an artistic choice. Dwarf throwing, as I said earlier in this episode, is usually something that happens more behind closed doors in like a nightclub setting or bar or pub in the Europe. It's not something that's like usually advertised openly on the streets, but you know what, I have actually gotten comments again. Thank you guys for leaving me the most informative tea on my TikToks and stuff, because one person was like, yeah, there's literally a bulletin board with a midget throwing advertisement on it at the store. And I'm like, imagine going to freaking like Safeway, or you go to Whole Foods to get your oat milk or kombucha because you're like gassy. Like, you're gassy and you're delirious and you're just trying to find something that's gonna help you with the gassiness. And you walk in and you look up and you're like, where's the kombucha? And all you see is a bulletin board and it says midget throwing, $10. Be there, be square, throw a midget. Quite frankly, let's just move on. So dwarf throwing has had a real harm on the dwarfism community as a whole, because it's given people this idea that even though obviously these dwarf throwing events are specific to, like, you're not just picking up little people elsewhere and throwing them, it's usually designated to these events. But what it's done to our environment and the community And by R, I mean the average hype people community. Not me. Girl, I wouldn't do that. When I say we, I do not mean me. I mean y'all who are not little people. Okay? Get your shit together. Okay. I'm just like, sorry. But like, don't think I'm talking about me because I'm not. I wouldn't do that stuff. But it's given people this warped idea that it's okay to treat people with dwarfism a certain way just because we are able to be picked up. It's like you wouldn't do this to a child, right? Because they're little. But because we're able to consent, it's, yeah, because a lot of people are like, why is this wrong? The little people agree to it. Yeah. Are you hiring little people at your job? Have you had a coworker with dwarfism? Have you, you know, tried to be inclusive to people with disabilities in your environments? No? Oh, gotcha. Well, despite that fact, little people are still being born in the masses every year and are still needing jobs and graduating with degrees and trying to get work and trying to pay their bills. So, unfortunately, that does leave a disparity if y'all are not hiring disabled people. I think it was like, it's a horrific number. I think it's at 20% now disabled people are hired in the United States of America. I'm trying to think of this. I'll put it on the screen, but I'm like, this isn't a video, Aubrey. This is a podcast. But look it up. The number of people with disabilities employed, and at least where I'm at in the U.S., in 2022 was horrifying. It's a really bad number. And there's cases, and we're just going to briefly talk about it, but there's like a case where this girl worked at Starbucks and she was hired because we have a law in the America that's like, basically you can't be like, disabled people can't work here. You have to be inclusive and you have to be able to provide accommodations. And because little people are able to do everything that everyone else can do, we just need literally a stool half the time. And I don't know. I'm not going to go on a rant about that. But she worked at Starbucks and they fired her because they said that it was literally like a risk having a stool there. And I'm like, so you fired a perfectly good employee. Like, that's just so messed up. And that's how it is for so many little people. It's like she was still doing the job. It wasn't like they were like, Daphne made a, she was burning the espresso. She was pouring oat milk into people's mouths in the drive-thru. Like, it wasn't that. It was, I'm getting carried away. So, as you can see, there's just little people struggle to find work is what I'm ultimately trying to say, guys. Let's bring the message together. So sometimes, unfortunately, people find themselves in positions where they're like, hey, do you want to make a few hundred dollars tonight? And they're like, sure, you know, when the end of the month's coming, we've all done things that we're not proud of to make rent, right? Every person with rich parents is like, not me, I just asked my parents for rent. Every coworker I had in New York City. Anyways, so, what was the plot of this movie? Oh, dwarf throwing. Yeah, it's just giving this idea to people that, like, oh, little people, they're cool with this. And although it's some little people are okay with this, to the GP, the general publico, they don't get that distinction. So then you have cases like Martin Henderson, who was a little person who sadly passed away, but several years prior to him passing away, he was a victim of a dwarf throwing attack. And I call it a dwarf throwing attack because although he wasn't thrown at an event, dwarf throwing event, in that area, he was in the UK, he was outside a pub smoking a cigarette or something. And at the time, there was a rugby team that was participating in a dwarf throwing event, and it was like all in the news, and that was like just had happened, right? And then this group of drunk people walking by, some guy decides to pick up this little person he sees and slam him onto the pavement, which leaves him, you know, with fractures and like his bones are like breaking everywhere, and he's ending up partially paralyzed because of this. And I actually haven't found anything to indicate that the person who did this was like sent to prison. So I'm really curious to see how this ended. But Martin Henderson ended up having to use a wheelchair for the remainder of his life because of these injuries. And what's worse, and unrelated to the dwarf throwing incident, but a few years after this attack, he was actually a victim of another attack, and this time a burglary, where two men broke into his house and forced him to drive them to his bank and give him money. Like, he was held hostage. It was really scary, guys. I'm like, what is happening to little people? Oh my gosh. But he did eventually pass in 2016, and although it's not specifically stated his cause of death, it does seem to indicate that it was the result of a lot of the injuries that he suffered from this dwarf throwing attack. So I think that it's really harmful personally to allow stuff like this to happen and be legal. A lot of people are like, well, if they're consenting, why do you care? Let people do what they want. But I'm like, don't you care about humanity? Don't you care about, like, actually, people don't care about that. I don't want to get picked up, because people pick me up try to pick me up all the time, like, physically, like, literally, you're just minding your own business and someone comes up behind you, and it's always because they want to film a stupid little Snapchat video back when Snapchat was popular, or it's FaceTime now. I get more than them filming me. It's like they're on the phone with someone, like their girlfriend or something. It's always some dumbass guy picking me up and then being like, bro, 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 like, it's all good, man. And I'm like, no, it's not good. But I think that allowing and perpetuating these, like, ideas like dwarf throwing and midget tossing and, you know, these things that objectify and prey on little people's height as, like, the reasoning for doing something dehumanizing, because it's like, oh, it's funny because they're short. But it's like, no, I think it really warps people's, like, perceptions, and I think we have to be conscious of how we're depicting real people, especially if we're not depicting them fairly in other avenues. It's not like we're seeing little people in magazines and in movies and we're like, oh, we know what it's like to have a dwarfism, we know there's different types of dwarfism, we know all this stuff, now we have, like, stuff like this. It's not like that. We don't have anything else to give a fair, balanced perspective on our community. Especially nothing that's really from our perspective. It's usually average type people, like, calling us and paying us to be in this stuff or to be in this photo shoot, but it's never, like, us in charge as well. So you can imagine that we've really never been able to have a fair, honest, genuine perspective of little people in society. So I think when you have stuff like this being pushed by communities, and then them pushing out little people in every other aspect, it's not a good look. And another thing is, what it does is the people who are performing, yeah, they're fine with it now because they're making money. And they, like, they're little people, again, struggle to find job. People do not take us seriously. There was someone who was went to school to be a lawyer and couldn't even get clients because people were like, who's gonna trust, like, I hire you and you walk in and it's the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs defending me. Like, literally people saying that to them. So you can imagine, like, even if we do the work and we're, like, persistent and stuff, it doesn't matter because we're still being left at the mercy of decision makers who are raised on, you know, lack of knowledge and disabilities in general. So they might think, oh, little people might not be able to do as much, or yeah, they might have more health conditions or blah, 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 blah. They just don't come from a place of understanding, and that does more harm than good. And then that mixed with being, like, us allowing events like dwarf throwing and stuff like this to keep going, it just doesn't, again, it's not a good look. Only two states right now have banned dwarf tossing. Florida, ironically, even though they tried to unban it, and New York. Shout out to my people in New York. I would love to marry an, I'm not going to talk about my love life again. I'm like, let's not do that. I was going to say, okay, but I'll say it right now. I was going to say, there's something so powerful. Like, I think that I'm a controlled individual. Like, I can, like, no matter how hot you are, no matter whatever, I'm not fazed, okay? But I hear a strong New York accent, a strong Jersey accent, and my heart and my legs are open. And with that, we're going to have an intermission so I can go to the bathroom and think about the things that I've said so far. This episode of Dwarfism History is brought to you by Dear Average White People. Now, I know you guys are thinking, what is Dear Average White People? Dear White People, is that what you're saying? Because every time that I say that on TikTok, the captions correct it to Dear White People. But alas, Dear Average White People is my love letter in the form of a documentary. And love letter to average white people, meant to say that. But it's basically a documentary about what it's like to have dwarfism, but it's not just a traditional sit down. Dwarfism's hard because we can't reach things because it's inaccessible, but it's gonna be, I mean, that's true though. And there's gonna be parts of the documentary like that. But we're also gonna explore it, some of these topics in a more visually artistic way, we'll say. We're going to have lots of comedy moments as well, where we use actors and performers with dwarfism who are not being cast in Hollywood and traditional projects and provide them the opportunity to flex their talents, because there is so much damn swag in this community. And I think that we deserve to be able to show all of the talents that we've been working hard at perfecting throughout these years. Ooh. Anyways, sorry, the timer just got to 666. That scared me for a second. If you want to support our film, we are making this independently as a collective of artists with dwarfism. And so far, we've been able to raise over $22,000 to make this movie. You can find more information on the film, as well as watch a teaser and learn more about the team at DearAverageHeightPeople.com. Again, DearAverageHeightPeople.com. And everyone who supports the film will be included in the credits. So I think this will be a really fun way of us as a community deciding we want to see better dwarfism representation, and we're tired of waiting on Hollywood for it. Thanks for listening. Back to the episode. Oh, side note before we move on. I just want to say this reminds me a lot of how little people were used as court dwarfs. And they made them do weird shit like dwarf throwing back then too, okay? I don't have any proof that they were literally throwing little people, but they were doing this basically that. Like, okay. This is actually really sad. But they, oftentimes it was different than being a jester, where they were like supposed to come on hee hee ha ha. Court dwarfs were like objects that they would use. Like, they would literally make them excessively drink. Like, they would force them to get like wasted, these little people, the king and all of his friends, just so they could like watch a super drunk little person like fumble around. It's like really messed up to me. I know you guys are like, so who cares? Log off the podcast. Yeah, I just think it's like there's a history we've had in the world of like not forcing little people to do stuff, but like limiting their options, we'll say, in life in general. So then the things that they're quote unquote forced to do to make money are stuff like this, where it's like all for the enjoyment of what? Some guy who's only 5'3", who is blonde and beautiful and lives in New York City and is neglecting me. What are we talking about? Another big downside from dwarf throwing is the actual people being thrown themselves usually suffer long-term damage from these events, both physically and mentally. In fact, there have been cases that have made it to the news of famous people in this community of dwarf throwing who, you know, are signing up for these jobs to be thrown and speaking out about why it's okay, end up passing away due to substance abuse issues, to mental health reasons. It's really something not to be considered lightly, and this is why I feel so impassioned that we need to speak on this and really bring it to a worldwide level. Like, not just rely on like legislation and the lawmakers to stop this, but really just raise awareness, because the pain and the hurt goes deep in this community, you know? Like, it's not just like, I'm offended by this, or I don't think little people should be thrown. It's like, no, if 2 + 2 is equaling little people having to cope with, you know, the pressures and the dehumanization that comes with this type of job. And if you know, if doing this is equaling that, then yeah, we need to can it. That's just unacceptable. It's disgusting. So I think it's really important. I thought it would be, I posted a video about this on Instagram about Martin Henderson and his story. And I posted about it several times on my TikTok back when I had less followers, to be honest. So on Instagram lately, I've been reposting a lot of older videos that I think, you know, need more attention. These are like people who are I think, are an important part of history because of all that they had to sacrifice in their life for people like me now to spread awareness about issues in our community. They are truly martyrs in their own martyrs. Sorry, I didn't enunciate that. Side tangent, had a cleft palate as a kid, which means that I basically was born without a roof of my mouth. So I had to go get plastic surgery when I was young, and years of speech therapy later, we're doing better, okay? But we still sometimes mess it up. But yeah, we just need to have a better path forward for some real change because there's still events going on every single day around the world. I posted the video on Instagram and it went viral, so I figured we would do this episode today to talk about that. And I also wanted to touch on the other forms of discrimination that little people face because they all essentially tie into each other. It's allowing one type of dehumanization is allowing the rest of it to be unleashed onto little people. So some of these other forms that I personally experience, literally once every single time that I go outside my house, people following me around, filming me, which it's gotten worse since the pandemic. People will full on be in a crowded, packed Circle K, following me around, loudly exclaiming like, I have to get it on camera. I have to get it on camera. People are fully wilding outside. Like, they're lucky that I am not a psychopath because imagine if I was. Like, imagine if I was one of those little people who was going to fight them. Like, imagine if I was, like, a criminal. Imagine. But anyways, so people will follow me around in stores all the time, filming me, or they're on FaceTime. As I said earlier, that's, like, a new thing where half the time they'll say the most heinous stuff, and then I'm, like, looking at them, like, why would you say that? And they're on FaceTime with their, like, boo, and I'm like, that's your man? That's your man. And she's like, he's a good man, Savannah. Literally, so many times I've like looked at a girlfriend on FaceTime after, like, as her boyfriend's like harassing me, and I'm like, girl, are you gonna say something? Like, hello? Hello? This is your, you let him inside of you? And he's harassing people on the street like this. Have some respect for yourself. Have some respect for yourself. You're letting him inside of you, and he's out here on the streets coming up to a little person, minding his own business. I was smoking a joint that time. Minding his own business. And you're gonna let him come up and jump me. And by jump me, I mean take video of me and say it. Anyways, sorry. That happened 5 years. Gosh, did that happen 5 years ago? 2019. 2021. Oh my gosh. Was that really 4 years ago? Oh my gosh. Anyways, people also, when I'm driving, will follow me in their cars and then go next to me to film me because they think it's funny watching a little person drive. And that might seem not like not a big deal, but I don't know. It's kind of scary when you're just alone and you're listening to, like, Adele and it's like, hello from the, yeah. And then you look out your window and someone, like, literally laughing their ass off following you, filming, like, and you're like, why is this car speeding up next to me, and why is this car like following me? Am I just being paranoid? Am I being delulu? And you're like, no, you're not being delusional. There's literally someone following you in your car right now. So that's really uncomfortable. That happened to me back to back the other weekend. I literally didn't go outside for like 5 days after that because I'm like, I can't even drive to a destination without being harassed. I get to the destination harassed. Oh my god. That, and then people trying to come up behind you and pick you up, as I said earlier, which is shocking to people, but I don't know how to explain it anymore. People will try to pick you up. Broad daylight, sober people, drunk people, nightclub, doesn't matter where you are. They will physically come behind you or in front of you. Sometimes they run up to you and pick you up. And they think that you're like a baby or something. I'm not gonna say my exact weight. I weigh a substantial amount and the ass is getting thicker by the year, okay? She accounts for most of the weight in my body. That and another part of my body that I'm not gonna mention on camera. Also online, I feel people are more entitled to like make comments about the way my body is structured because I have a disability that's visible and they think that means that they can just say whatever. And everyone's obviously gonna be subject to comments about their body when they're put online, but I'm like, it is a little different, you know. It's a little different when it's like you couldn't talk about like the scars on my face, but like my back is arched weird. Got it. My butt's big. Got it. Also, my butt isn't big, guys. It's an optical illusion. I'm below average height and dwarfism affects my bones. My butt isn't a bone, so I have an average height person's butt with smaller legs. Okay, Not to break the illusion, I gotta get off this. I'm really curious to see what you guys think about today's episode. I really urge you to check out the show notes on dwarfismhistory.com for today's episode. I'm gonna link some articles and some people's stories who have been victim of dwarf throwing and who have talked about it publicly throughout the years. Now I'm going to answer a question from Instagram. If you're not following the podcast Dwarfism History on Instagram, go do it right now. But every week I'm going to be answering a question that not necessarily has to be about dwarfism, but that I think is fun. And today is going to be a question about dwarfism that I got. What is dwarfism's future from the Funktastic? Well, we'll save it for a future episode, but what I will say is that Big Pharma has been developing drugs over the course of the last decade or so to eventually basically eradicate dwarfism. So they're trying to, and have successfully been able to sell drugs that children with achondroplasia, which is just one type of dwarfism, so this is not for all types of dwarfism yet, but they have been able to develop a drug that can be administered at a young age. I think now it's going to be legal below 5. And you inject it throughout the child's growing period and they grow above. Oh my gosh, this guy's lawn blow. I can't. Can you not let me record the end of my podcast? I'm just going to talk so loud that it gets. I'm kidding. I'll wait. But anyways, who knows what the future of dwarfism is going to be. I'm hoping that my contribution to the future is going to be some badass content like movies and documentaries and live entertainment and festivals and stuff that's centered around dwarfism and disability in general, so that at least we're not erased. Because I do fear that if we're not actively speaking up about specifically dwarfism history, a lot of it's going to get lost and none of it's going to get carried over. And I do think that the past is obviously important, and dwarfism history is just history at the end of the day, so we need to preserve history. But anyways, I'm just calling it the drug to get rid of dwarfism, because that's basically what it is. Like, they're like, hey, does your kid have dwarfism? Hey, do you want them not to have dwarfism because it's gonna suck one day for them? Because they keep trying to advertise it as being like, oh, it's gonna help because kids with dwarfism grow up and they have health complications. And it's like, but they also admit in the same breath that this drug does not to address those complications. It just affects linear growth, so you're just going to get inches. It's not going to directly stop any issue that comes with having dwarfism. So dumb, but people fall for it because a lot of little people have average height parents who are easily guilted into being like, your kid's going to get bullied because they're going to be under average height and they're going to struggle with, and it's like, instead of fixing the societal issues and things like access and the fact that like it's going to be hard for them to get a job because people aren't aware of, instead of being like, let's educate people on disabilities and dwarfism, it's let's get rid of dwarfism. So we'll see. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode though. Next week I think we're talking about, and don't hold the gun to me and make me do this because I change my mind all the time, as evident this week, but I think we had to do a general overview of the history of little people. I almost named it the Eras Tour, like Taylor Swift's Eras, because it's going to be the different eras of dwarfism through history, but then I remembered that she was dating an open racist, so. Anyways, we're going to end the episode now before I get canceled by the Swifties. I love you guys. I had so much fun today. Thank you for joining me for episode 2 of Dwarfism History. Again, the show notes will be available at dwarfismhistory.com. If you go to the episodes tab and scroll to this episode, you will find resources that I have compiled to help provide you with some further reading. I know there's some nerds listening, and nerds love reading. Okay, I'm gonna go now, eat my pizza, and I love you guys. Keep going. Bye-bye.